Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Magpapatuloy tayo ng ating paksa sa Christian Holiness ng ating Sunday School at tayo ay nasa bahagi na ng pagtalakay sa Standards of Holiness at nasa bahagi tayo ngayon ng Kingdom of Christ. At bilang muling pagbabalik-aral, bakit napakahalaga ng Standards of Holiness ay sapagkat without the standard, we cannot define sin or holiness. Paano kang magpapakabanal na hindi mo alam ang kabanalan o hindi mo alam ang kasalanan? At kung ano ang pamantayan na yon, I have maintained that the supreme standard is God Himself. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Both Old Testament and New Testament make that the standard of the people of God. Pero paano natin masasabi na tayo ay sumusunod sa kabanalan ng Diyos? Binigyan tayo ng mga definidong mga pamantayan, standards of holiness that we are targeting, at natapos na natin dito ang Ten Commandments. Tatapusin natin ngayon ang Kingdom of Christ, tasusundan ito ng ating pag-aaral ng Example of Jesus, at ang panghuli ay ang Fruit of the Spirit. The Ten Commandments apply to both Old Testament and New Testament people of God, but the last three are standards which came into reality because of what Christ has done in the New Testament. At tayo ay nasa Kingdom of Christ, kung saan muli kong ipapaalala sa inyo na ang pagkahari ni Hesukristo ay nagsimula na noon pang siya'y nabuhay na muli mula sa mga patay. It is not a political or a territorial kingdom. It is His kingship as one who has fulfilled the Davidic covenant and He is now a sitting king. At sino ang nasa loob ng kanyang kaharian? Believers in Christ are the subjects of the kingdom. Hindi ito kinikilala sa mundo, hindi kinikilala ng mga walang pananampalataya kay Hesukristo, pero para sa mga mananampalataya, bahagi sila ng paghahari ni Hesukristo. At kung titingnan natin sa Bagong Tipan, may mga bahagi na sinasabing nariyan na ang kaharian, may mga bahagi rin na sinasabing ang kaharian ay darating pa lamang, at mabibigyan natin ito ng paliwanag sa pagtanggap ng dalawang aspeto ng kaharian ni Hesukristo. The kingdom as its inauguration aspect, it has already come into this age. The age to come has broken into this age with the first coming of Jesus Christ, but the fullness of it, the consummation of it, is yet to come in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, ano ang mga standards sa Kingdom of Christ? Dalawa ang tinatalakay natin at natapos na natin ang una rito na tinawag kong Kingdom Law. There are many passages in the New Testament that describe or give a portrayal to the standard of the law as applied to the Kingdom of Christ, but none is a better distillation than that of the Sermon on the Mount. Kaya dyan tayo tumutok sa limang diskurso ni Jesus na nasa Gospel of Matthew. It is all about the kingdom, and the first of this we know as the Sermon on the Mount, which is about the membership in the kingdom. At binigyan natin ito ng struktura so that we have these five sections of the Sermon on the Mount. The first is blessedness of character. Ito ang tinatawag natin mga beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, etc. At pagkatapos, tinignan natin ang inwardness of obedience ng sinasalungat ni Jesus. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Hindi niya sinasalungat ang sampung utos. Sinasalungat niya ang panlabas na pagsunod na pinaiiral ng mga eskriba at pariseo sa kanilang pangsariling katuwiran. And then we look at Godwardness of religion. And here, Jesus is denouncing hypocrisy where religion is only for the eyes of men, for the eyes of the public, whereas true godly religion in the kingdom of Jesus Christ is that which is done for God primarily in secret. At ang kasunod ay ang lastingness of priority. Lahat tayo ay may mga prioridad, may temporal, may relational, may individual, pero on top of all that should be kingdom realities because it is kingdom realities that will last for eternity. And Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount by emphasizing the need, the imperative for consistency of application, which is depicted memorably by the parable of the two builders. One built his house upon the sand, and it did not last through the storm, while the one who built his house upon the rock is the one who lasted. At ganyan ang buhay ng pagsunod sa Panginoon sa kanyang kaharian na may batas na sinusunod, ito ang Sermon on the Mount. At makikita natin ng prinsipyong pundasyon nito ay that kingdom righteousness begins with God's gracious favor. This is in stark contrast with the self-righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, which is legalism, earning the favor of God by their own merits and by their own goodness and righteousness. There is none of that in kingdom righteousness. It begins with God being gracious to us, and in response to that grace, we obey kingdom law, which is well summarized in the Sermon on the Mount. Titingnan natin ngayon ang ikalawa at huli na kingdom standard, at ito'y tinatawag ko namang kingdom gospel. And that is of course summarized by that status Jesus earned by His death and resurrection, and that is His Lordship. Jesus Christ earned His Lordship by way of death and resurrection, and that constitutes the gospel, and it is because of that that it can also be considered a standard in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. At may mga talata na pinagdikit ang kingdom at ang gospel. Kingdom and gospel are linked together in several passages. I can only give you a summary. In the case of the preaching of Jesus, He said in the last discourse of Matthew, which is known as the Olivet Discourse, na patungkol sa kahulihan at mga katapusan ng kaharian, sinabi niya sa Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So there is no other gospel but that gospel which is about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that will be proclaimed to all nations. It is the gospel that will be proclaimed until the end. No other gospel. And when Apostle Paul's ministry was summarized by Luke in the very last verse of the book of Acts, ito ang kanyang sinabi in Acts 28:31. He, Paul, proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Pansin niyo ang pagdidikit dito, proclaim the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing about gospel and kingdom being put together. They are linked together. Ang makikita natin dito, the gospel is a kingdom standard because the substance of the gospel is the lordship of Jesus Christ. May mga magsasabi na ang gospel ay basta tanggapin mo lang si Jesus na tagapagligtas at ligtas ka na sa lahat ng parusa, wala na silang pakialam na dapat silang namumuhay sa pagkapanginoon ni Jesus Kristo. I'll tell you that that is a false gospel. If we link the gospel with the kingdom, then it is a gospel that shows the lordship of Jesus Christ. Ngayon, anong dapat nating malaman tungkol sa gospel as a kingdom standard? The first thing is, how do we identify the reality, the authentic members of the kingdom? So the kingdom gospel is for identifying kingdom authentication. Paano ba yung pagpapatunay na ito nga ang ebanghelyo ng kaharian ni Jesucristo? And here the answer is the apostolicity of the gospel. Ang ebanghelyo ay dapat na siyang ipinangaral ng mga apostol. At maraming mga bagay na hidwang mga pag-aangkin na ginagawa ngayon na sila ang nangangaral ng ebanghelyo, and yet they are false claims. Makikita natin to sa mga tinatawag nating mga cults, ang mga cults karaniwan ay meron silang sarili nilang messenger na sinasabing silang isinugo sa huling araw ng Diyos para ipangaral ang katotohanan na nawala mula ng panahon ng unang siglo. Isa na riyan ang kilala natin na si Felix Manalo ng Iglesia ni Cristo na nag-aangki na siya ang huling sugo. Eh, ang mga katulad niya, yan man ay si Joseph Smith ng Mormons, Charles Taze Russell ng Jehovah's Witnesses at marami pa ang mga nag-aangki na sila ang sugo ngayon at sila ang may dala ng katotohanan ng Ebanghelyo. Ito ay mga bulaang pag-aangkin. Then, maaaring mangyari ito sa inaangkin natin sa sarili nating karanasan na kalimitan ay mga panaginip, mga inaangking pangitain, at dahil doon sinasabi nating kinausap ako ng Diyos, eh yan din ay isang maling pagbabatayan ng katotohanan ng Ebanghelyo. Ano ang dapat nating pagkuna ng totoong Ebanghelyo? The only authentic source is apostolic. Only the apostles who were chosen by Jesus himself to be his official witnesses, yan ang sinabi ni Paul na, though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you any other gospel than that which we, the apostles, have preached, let him be accursed. And in knowing between truth and error, may maliwanag na sukatan si Apostle John sa 1 John chapter 4, nang siya'y magbabala, do not believe any spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Well, how do we know which spirit is of God, which is not of God? May simple siyang sinabi rito sa 1 John 4, 5, and 6. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We, and he by we, he means the apostles, going back to the opening chapter of 1 John, we are of God. He who knows God hears us, the apostles. He who is not of God does not hear us, the apostles. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you see here, there is a neat way of distinguishing truth and error. Truth is apostolic. Error is that which claims dreams, visions, messengers instead of what is apostolic. For us, that means now what is bequeathed to us by the apostles since they are no longer alive, ang iniwan nila sa iglesia ay ang kanilang mga sulatin na ngayon ay ang bagong tipan. Kaya any other gospel other than the apostolic, we can immediately conclude is a false gospel. It will not bring you to the kingdom. It is not the gospel of the kingdom if it is not apostolic. Ang ikalawang alalahanin natin ay how is one included in the kingdom gospel, the originating kingdom inclusion. Paano napapasama ang isang tao at masabi niyang siya'y nasa kaharian na? Ang sagot dyan ay receptivity to the gospel. At dito muling balaan natin ang ating sarili sa mga mali at bulaang pag-aangkin. May mga nagsasabi na ang ebidensya na ang kapangyarihan ng kaharian ay nasa isang tao, isang ministeryo, ay ang paggawa ng mga tanda at kababalaghan, signs and wonders. Yan ang kanilang sinasabi. Kaya nariyan ang mga angkin ng mga charismatics na meron silang sinasabing prophecy that God is restoring the signs and wonders movement according to their official charisma magazine. At yan naman ang makikita mo sa kanila na mga pagtitipon ay pag-aangkin na pinupuspos sila ng espiritu at ang patunay ay meron silang mga kababalaghan. Ang iba naman, ang kanilang dinadalang mensahe ay health and wealth. Ang kanilang pang-akit sa mga tagapakinig nila ay may pangako sila ng paggaling sa kanilang mga sakit, kalusugan, at kayamanan. Now, the most popular guru of this message is Joel Osteen. And he has popularized this in his book, Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. And he has had many sequels to that book. But just imagine, if you have your best life now, you are poor indeed. because the promise is for eternity and at the second coming of Jesus Christ. These are false prophets. And besides, this does not and cannot apply to all in the kingdom. Sa lahat ba ng nasa kaharian, mga kapag-aangkin ng kababalaghan, lahat ba ng nasa kaharian ay merong paggaling sa kanilang sakit at sila'y mayaman? This is radically making their gospel elitist. At hindi ganyan ang ebanghelyo ng kaharian ni Jesu Cristo. So what is the proper receptivity to the gospel? Well, we are not denying the reality of signs and wonders in the scriptures. But in the New Testament, signs and wonders apply to Jesus as Messiah. It proves that the Messiah is here by his performing of signs and wonders as signs of the coming of the kingdom. Sinabi niya ito sa Matthew 9:35 and 36, or the narrative that describes his ministry. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So there is the Savior's heart, and his performance of signs and wonders is not for the purpose of simply attracting the crowd. His performance is to prove him to be the Messiah who is bringing in the kingdom. At ito rin ang kanyang itinuro sa Matthew 12:28, that if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. Sinabi niya na ang kanyang pagpapalayas ng mga demonyo kasama yan sa mga tanda't kababalaghan ay patunay na dinadala na niya ang kaharian at para siyang nanloloob ng isang dating may-ari ng bahay, ngunit nilolooban niya upang kunin ang dati niyang pag-aari na tumutukoy sa dyablo at siya ang nanloloob sa dating pag-aari ng dyablo. And so this refers to the Messiah, and it is crossing, or perhaps it is coming close to blasphemy to even claim that what is messianic is for all of us. But not only does it apply to Jesus as the Messiah, signs and wonders authenticated apostolic witness. Maraming ganyang katuruan sa bagong tipan. Isa na lang ang aking ibibigay na patunay sa 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Apostle Paul, contrasting himself with those who claim to be apostles, those he called super apostles, ang sabi niya ay, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. Sa makatwid, siya ang makapagpapatotoo na siya ay tunay na apostol, hindi ang mga super apostles, sapagkat sa kanya ibinigay na mapanatili ang mga tanda at kababalaghan. This is for the apostle. So, to apply this to all believers will lose its sign function. Kung ito'y tanda ng isang apostol, pagkatapos lahat ay mayroon, o sasabihin mong kahit hindi apostol ay mayroon, tinanggal mo ang pagiging sign nito. The very reason why it is a sign is it is unique. So, in this case, it is unique to Jesus in his ministry, unique to the apostolic period and ministry. So, what is the right receptivity to the gospel? The answer is the true saving reception of the gospel is the inseparable response of repentance and faith. Diyan tayo napapasama sa kaharian. Kapag tayo tumugon sa ebanghelyo, sa pagsisisi ng kasalanan at pananampalataya kay Jesucristo. Nang ibuod ni Apostol Pablo ang kanyang mensahe, sinabi niya, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the receptivity that makes a person included into the kingdom is by repentance and faith, which also tells us something about who to accept as members of the church. And that is, of course, by baptism. So the question is, who to baptize? Baptism must only be on the basis of saving reception of the gospel. Ibig sabihin, sila'y naging alagad ni Jesucristo. Tumugon siya sila kay Jesucristo at sila'y naging alagad ni Jesucristo. Yan ang original na pagsusugo ni Jesus sa kanyang mga alagad. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Who are they to baptize? Those who become disciples of all nations. So that's the basis and the only basis for baptizing anyone to become members of the church is that they have become disciples of Jesus Christ. Maaring meron sa inyo na nag-aakalang pag sumama sa iglesia ay maliligtas. Hindi po. Ikaw ay dapat na maligtas kay Kristo at doon ka ibibilang sa iglesia sa paraan ng bautismo. So that must be the basis. Some ask too little. Ibig sabihin, hindi nila sinisiguro, hindi nila sinisiyasat kung ang applicant nila for church membership ay may ebidensya na siya ay alagad, basta these people can mouth the right vocabulary, although there is no real evidence, tanggap na nila agad. But on the other hand, some ask too much. Kinakailang reformed na, kinakailang alam na ang doctrine of the 5 points of the doctrines of grace. Sumusobra naman yan. Ang hinihingi lamang ay alagad ni Jesucristo. At nagiging alagad ni Jesucristo sa pagtugon sa Ebanghelyo, sa pagsisisi at sa pananampalataya. So the next thing is expanding kingdom commission. Ang kingdom gospel ay ipinapangalat. At paano ito ginagawa? Through testimony for the gospel. And dito mahalaga na alam natin at tinatanggap natin na bahagi ito ng ating gustong gawin sa Ebanghelyo upang mapangalat ang kaharian ni Kristo, ay kinakailangan ipangalat ang Ebanghelyo ni Jesucristo. Kaya tatanggihan din natin ang ilang mga sumasalungat dito sa pagtuturo ng mga Katoliko, meron silang doktrina o pagtuturo ng anonymous Christian na ito ay Catholic teaching na pinasimunuan ng isang Catholic theologian na si Karl Rahner. Ang the anonymous Christian na sinasabi niyang isang tao na maaaring hindi kilala si Kristo pero doon sa kanyang nakikita sa pahayag ng Diyos sa nilikha, sumusunod siya ay para na rin siyang Kristiyano. Kaya hindi niya alam si Kristo, hindi niya kilala, pero para na rin siyang sumunod kay Kristo. Kaya kung sa ganyang sistema, hindi siya kailangang pangaralan ng Ebanghelyo. Pero meron ding katapat niyan sa mga evangelicals, those who think that you can be a Christian at heart without an explicit confession of Jesus Christ of the gospel. This is the teaching of some evangelicals at ang isang pasimuno niya na si Clark Pinnock sa kanyang aklat na A Wideness in God's Mercy, kung saan kanyang sinabi that it is the state of the heart that God will consider, not your theology. Of course, we are not asking anyone to have the most substantial theology to become a Christian, but the demand of the gospel is faith in Jesus Christ, not simply the state of the heart. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Kaya ang ating paniniwala sa pagpapakalat ng kaharian ni Jesucristo, kaya na kailangan pa rin ang patotoo ng Ebanghelyo, which means it is the task of the church to proclaim the gospel. This is the mission of the church. At bago umakyat si Jesus sa langit, matapos na niyang mamatay at mabuhay na muli, itong ibinili niyang pagsugo sa kanyang iglesia, and that repentance and forgiveness should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. Isang makikita sa Bili na yan ni Jesus na pwedeng ang isang tao ay hindi na marinig ang patungkol kay Jesucristo at maliligtas pa rin. And so we believe in the requisite faith in Christ. We call upon sinners to have faith in Jesus Christ. This is the imperative of the gospel. Hindi ito option. It is an imperative that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So merong hinihingi na pagtugon, ang pagsampalataya kung ano ang kanyang ginawa upang magkaroon ng ebanghelyo sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli, at ang sinabi sa kahulihan ay everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there is no suggestion here that you can opt for a Christless salvation. There is no such thing because it is always the gospel of the kingdom. So the final point is about the kingdom gospel producing kingdom transformation. Okay, may pagbabagong gagawin ito sa isang talagang tumugon, hindi siya maaring manatiling kung ano lang siya bago siya tumugon sa ebanghelyo. And there will be conformity with the gospel. Again, dito sa tanggihan natin ang mga uri ng pag-aakala na ang kailangan lang epekto sa isang tao ng ebanghelyo ay mula sa mga sakramento, from the Catholic position of sacramentalism. Basta't ikaw ay gumawa ng kanilang mga sakramento, lalo na ang kanilang pinakamahalaga, ang misa, ay may epekto na ito sa iyo ng paglilinis. Eh, siyempre, lilipas din yan, ulit-ulitin mo lang at sa iyo muli ang paglilinis. Ito ay hindi nakabatay sa Biblia. These are ritual sacraments deemed as having automatic effect. Ang tinatawag nilang ex opere operato, na basta ginawa, may biyaya ang gumawa ng sakramento. Pero may katumbas yan again sa mga evangelicals, which is evangelical decisionism. Makikita natin ito sa isang popular na ginagawa, a very popular practice of altar call and other counterparts of it, in which there is a formula prayer of acceptance at pagkatapos basta't na nasambit ang panalangin na yon, may kasunod na agad na pagtitiyak na siya ay anak ng Diyos, pupunta siya sa langit kapag siya ay namatay. And this is impoverishing the gospel. This is producing false converts, people who believe they are going to heaven when no change has transpired in their lives. Ano ba ang kingdom gospel sa epekto nito? Kingdom gospel leads to kingdom way. Ibabalik tayo niyan sa isang bahagi ng Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Take note the connection of the gate and the way or the road. If you enter into the wide gate, the wrong beginning, your continuation is also wide, it is also wrong. And it is the one who enters the right beginning, conversion, in the narrow gate, who will lead his life to a narrow way. A narrow way in the sense of being conscientious in his obedience towards the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So the kind of walk is the evidence of the kind of entry. Yan ang sinasabi ng talatang yan. And godliness is the evidence of the fruit of the gospel. Sinasabi mong tinanggap mo ng ebanghelyo, eh, tama lang na magsiyasat at magmasid ng mga ibinunga nito sa iyong buhay. Ganitong sabi ni Pablo sa kanyang naging ministeryo sa Thessalonica, For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. At binanggit niya ang mga bagay na nangyari at nagbago sa buhay ng mga taga-Tesalonica, kasama na ang pag-iwan nila sa kanilang mga idolo upang sambahin ang tunay na Diyos at ang pagiging makadiyos ng kanilang buhay. This is the proof of the effectiveness of the gospel. That's why it is a standard, because the gospel is that transforming power that happens to a sinner who, when he responds to the gospel of Christ and he responds to Christ as his Lord and Savior, it will change him into a godly person. And that is what we have been addressing in this series, holiness. Kaya sa isang mananampalataya, muli siya ay nakikipagbaka sa tamang kaisipan ng kabanalan na hinahamon ng maling kaisipan. The kingdom gospel is based on a person having faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, and therefore he has become his follower. Ang resulta niyan ay sasabihin niyang, it is my delight and duty to follow the authority of the Lord Jesus. Dahil sa Ebanghelyo, nakilala niya si Jesus na Panginoon at tagapagligtas, kagalakan niya at katungkulan niya na sumunod sa pamamahala ni Jesucristo. Samantalang ang maling Ebanghelyo, the false gospel, it makes a person think, I just want the assurance of salvation from punishment. And that is the kind of gospel you hear popularly proclaimed today. Ang resulta niyan is a person with the attitude, I can live the way I want without affecting my professed acceptance of salvation. Yun lang ang gusto niya, pumunta ng langit, huwag pumunta sa impyerno. At kapag naibigay na ang ganong katiyakan sa kanya, mamumuhay siya ng sarili niyang pamamahala sa halip na magpasakop sa pamamahala ni Jesucristo. So he has a wrong standard because his gospel is wrong. The person who will be holy with the gospel as his standard. So, let this be the challenge. Let the gospel give shape and substance to our holiness. Ang ebanghelyo ang dapat magbigay ng maghubog at magbigay ng laman sa ating uri ng kabanalan. Maraming mga mag-aangkin ngayon na sila ay kay Kristo. Maraming mag-aangkin na sila ay ligtas, papunta ng langit dahil kay Jesucristo. Ngunit kung tingnan mo ang buhay nila ay walang kabanalang anuman, walang pagbabago. Isang dahilan ay sapagkat hindi ang totoong ebanghelyo ang kanilang tinanggap. At kaya dito napakahalaga na ang pamantayan natin ng kabanalan ay nakabatay sa tunay na ebanghelyo ng kaharian ni Jesucristo. Yan ang magpapabanal sa isang tunay na mananampalataya. Hamunin natin ang ating mga sarili, magsuri tayo. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang at pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Diyos, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.